Let us unite our hearts together as we come to the Word. Our loving Father, we look to Thee. We do thank Thee for Thy precious Word. We're not among those times when the Word was rare. Lord, we have the Word freely available to us. And we pray that this day Thou wilt break to our hearts the bread of life. Minister to us through the Scriptures. We would see Thee on the sacred page. O, breathe upon us then by Thy Spirit, and give the enablement and minister to all our hearts. We ask it in the Saviour's name. Amen. Isaiah chapter 26, and in verses 3 and 4, we have these words, Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on Thee, because he trusteth in Thee. Trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. The people of Judah were garrisoned around. We see from verse 1 that they were protected by walls and bulwarks. Such was the strength of their defenses. They dwelt safely. They could rest at ease, free from fear or dread of being overcome. Those walls and bulwarks, Judah did not have exclusive rights to them. They surround all the people of God. We have a sure defense. It is so sure that those who are within are kept in peace. Perfect peace. What a tremendous blessing. Perfect peace in a world where troubles, trials, and tribulations abound. Life very often is as a heaving, tempestuous sea on which our frail vessels are relentlessly tossed to and fro. Yet through it all, there is the possibility, oh, more than a possibility, there is the promise of perfect peace to all whose minds are stayed on the Lord and whose faith is fixed in Him. Oh, what sweetness then flows out of this text. May we drink it to the full. May we know the truth of it experimentally. Know the reality of being kept in perfect peace. Three things from this text. First of all, the offer of perfect peace. And you will notice that Isaiah's heart and mind is fixed on God. He begins in verse 3, Thou will keep him in perfect peace. It is God's gift. The whole Trinity, indeed, is its author. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 23 refers us to the very God of peace. The very God of peace sanctify you wholly. This prophet Isaiah, he could foresee things that were to come. He could speak of the coming Messiah in chapter 9 and verse 6, as God the Son, the Prince of Peace. The Prince of Peace. Ephesians 2 and verse 14 tells us that the Lord is our peace. And then in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 22, peace, we learn, is one of the aspects of the fruit of the Spirit. Oh, this is the divine purpose, that the people of God, in their pilgrim journey, with its twists and turns, its burdens and cares, that they might have the peace of God, keeping their hearts and minds. David draws our attention to this fact in Psalm 37 and verse 37, when he says, "Mark the perfect man, and behold the upright, for the end of that man is peace." The Lord, in that final discourse with his disciples prior to the crucifixion, he lost sight of his own circumstances. His heart went out to the disciples. What a great trial his crucifixion would present. He who is God of very God said to them in John chapter 14 and verse 27, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." And again in John 16 and verse 33, the Lord Jesus said to those troubled hearts, "These things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." The Lord gives to our hearts his peace. It is only in God that true, solid, real peace is found. God is the author of it by the works of his passion. Paul tells us in Galatians, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, that God was in Christ at the cross, reconciling the world unto himself. There at the cross, Christ was making peace with God for us by the shedding of his blood. A native on a heathen island, he went to the witch doctor searching for peace. The witch doctor, taking the man's sandals, he drove nails up through the soles of them. And he told him to walk to a faraway city. And by the time he would get there, he would have peace. Of course, with every step, the nails tore into the flesh, inflicting awful pain. The native made it to a village where he collapsed under a tree. When he recovered a little, he heard a missionary preaching from John 14 and verse 27, "My peace I give unto you." The man shuffled and crawled to the edge of the crowd, and holding up his sandals with the nails protruding through them, he said, "I have been wearing these because I want peace." The preacher told him the story of the cross and how a man can have peace with God through the Savior's own blood. There and then, the native entered into peace through believing. Oh, what peace flows to the conscience and to the heart through the work of our Savior's passion. Peace, perfect peace in this dark world of sin. The blood of the Lord Jesus whispers peace within. Believer, when the devil rakes up the past and troubles your mind with previous sins, how can your peace be regained? By getting to the cross, the atonement, where God was in Christ, making an end of your sin. What though the accuser roar of ills that I have done? I know them all and thousands more, but Jehovah findeth none. God is the author of our peace by the work of His passion, and also by the way of His providence. God's thoughts toward us are thoughts of good and not of evil. In Psalm 119, in verse 68, David could say, "Thou art good and doest good." But so often to us, providence is dark, it's deep, it's mysterious, it's at times perplexing. We think of Joseph, wrestled away from his father's side, stripped of the coat of many colors, mercilessly thrown into the pit, sold without pity into Egypt, wronged by Potiphar's wife, and cast into prison. Oh, how the sharp edge of those circumstances must have disturbed Joseph's peace. But through it all, God's providential ways were working to bring Joseph to preeminence, to the place where he would be in a position to provide for his people in a time of famine. And Joseph could say to those brothers of his, looking them in the eye, in Genesis chapter 50 and verse 20, "But as for you, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass as it is this day, to save much people alive." All of those circumstances, hard circumstances in Joseph's life, they dovetailed together for good. Though the Christian may be at a loss to see how hard circumstances will work for good, yet the believer knows that they will, and that confidence in the ways of providence is the ground of peace. In Psalm 39 and verse 9, David has this to say, "I was dumb, I opened not my mouth, because thou didst it." David is in submission. There is a confident acquiescence with the will of God. David has nothing to say by way of murmuring or complaint. Whatever comforts he is being deprived of, whatever crosses he is burdened with, his heart is at ease. There is a calmness within, for he says with his lips, "Thou didst it." And all that God does is well done. And David is at peace with God's providential ways. We know that all things work together for good for those who love the Lord, who are the called according to His purpose. So we see in this text the author of perfect peace. But secondly, let us come to the analysis of perfect peace. You will note the marginal rendering, "Peace, peace." There is much emphasis Oh, here is true, deep, rock solid peace. It is such that prevails over all circumstances. The peace which the Lord promised His disciples was that which always filled His own heart. No one had more cause to be disturbed, to be ruffled, to be anxious than the Lord. We know that He endured a great contradiction of sinners against Himself. But when He was reviled, He reviled not again. When He suffered, He threatened not. When that awful cup of damnation that He must drink dry came before Him in Gethsemane, He prayed, "Not my will, but thine be done." There was a perfect resignation in the heart of Christ to the divine will in all circumstances. If you quarrel with God in your circumstances, your peace will be at an end. But when you come to the place where you say it is the Lord, let Him do what seemeth Him good, you will have abiding peace. This is a peace that has confidence in God. The verse, you see, it speaks of the mind being stayed on God. We sometimes speak of a stay or a mainstay. We're speaking of that which someone is depending on, putting confidence in. It is something, a mainstay, a stay is something that upholds and supports. And to have your mind stayed on God is to have your confidence fixed in Him, in His Word. The Word strengthens faith. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And the Word brings cheer and comfort to our hearts. To Ephraim, in Hosea chapter 8 and verse 12, the Lord said, "I have written to him the great things of my law." I have written to Ephraim the great things of my law. And that phrase, "the great things," may be understood from the original, the 10,000 things. I have written to Ephraim concerning the 10,000 things of my word. What an inexhaustible treasure store. There are great things. There are great promises. There are great wonders from Genesis to Revelation. Oh, may our minds be stayed in the Word. In times of challenge and difficulty in the Reformation period, Martin Luther said to Philip Melanchthon, "Let the devil do his worst. Let us come and sing Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof." Oh, may we be stayed on the Word. In Psalm 112, we read of the good man in verse 7. "He shall not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. Such was Stephen. All that sat on the council in Jerusalem that accused him saw his face as it had been the face of an angel. Such was his composure, his serenity and peaceableness. Oh, for the peace of a perfect confidence, my loving God in thee. Unwavering faith that never doubts, thou choosest best for me. And this is a peace that brings contentment. It has locked within it contentment. A number of artists were invited to paint a picture of perfect peace. The field was narrowed down to two who had portrayed perfect peace on canvas. The first artist created a scene of a lake, nestling, still and motionless at the bottom of mountains. The second artist painted a thundering waterfall, with the branch of the birch tree bending over the dashing foam. And on the fork of that branch, a robin sat in her nest, undisturbed, perfectly content. The peace that passes all understanding is able to keep your mind in contentment. Lord, I would place my hand in thine, nor ever murmur nor repine, content whatever lot I see, since 'tis my God that leadeth me. But then lastly, we think of the acquiring of perfect peace. How do we acquire it? The mind filled with the word leads to trust, faith, resulting in a quiet and peaceable spirit. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. Turmoil, dismay, despair, fear, they come flooding in. If our faith wanes. Peter's faith failed him when he walked on the water to go to the Lord. When he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid and beginning to sink. He said, Lord, save me. The Lord responded, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? The waves of doubt and fear overwhelm us when our faith is weak. But when it is strong, there is perfect peace within. It's demonstrated in the life of Christ when he and the disciples crossed the Sea of Galilee and a great storm blew up. The waves beat into the ship. It began to fill with water. Where was the Lord while the disciples were fighting for survival? The Lord's head was on the pillow, fast asleep in the hinder part of the ship, in perfect calm and repose. In mockery at the cross, in Matthew 27 and verse 43, the crowd said of the Lord, he trusted in God. He did trust in his loving Heavenly Father. Hence his peaceableness in every circumstance. And God is worthy of your trust. He abideth faithful. He cannot fail. At times we trust in each other and we fail. We disappoint one another. Trust ye in the Lord forever, the text says. For in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength, the rock of ages. What a wonderful sufficiency there is in the Lord. No situation we face but that His grace can abound to us. No storm that we must pass through in which His consolations will fail. No foe enemy surround us that He cannot blow on and scatter us chaff before the wind. What a firm foundation for your faith and hope to rest on. Have faith in God, and the fruit of it will be perfect peace. In Job chapter 34 and verse 29, the Bible says, when God giveth quietness, who then can make trouble? When God giveth quietness, who then can make trouble? Some of you have your minds stayed on the world, its pleasures and ways. There's no peace there. There is no peace outside of Christ. Speaking of the ungodly in Romans 3 and verse 17, the Bible says the way of peace they have not known. The way of peace they have not known. Oh, there may be a false peace in your life. We read about the devil keeping those under his spell in peace. In Luke chapter 11 and verse 21, he's referred to as the strong man armed. He keepeth his palace, his goods, those in his snare are in peace. But it is a case of peace, peace, when there is no peace. There is only peace with God through Jesus Christ. Romans 5 and 1 spells it out. Being justified by faith, we have peace with God. Are you included this morning? Are you among those spoken of in that verse? Are you among the we? Being justified by faith, I have peace with God. Is this where you stand? If not, flee to the Savior. Forsake, break off with your sin. Give it up. Renounce your sin. Confess it to Christ. And through faith in His sacrifice, your soul can be at one with God. Job chapter 22 and verse 21 exhorts, acquaint now thyself with him, and be at peace, thereby good shall come unto you. May you this day enter into gospel peace, knowing the Lord Jesus as your Savior and Redeemer. May the Lord bless His word to each of our hearts.